So, our first scripture, I'll go ahead and let y'all know what it is before we pray. It's actually going to be in Hebrews 4, verses 12 to 13. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that as you will be sitting in the Bema seat, as they would call it in Greek, the judgment seat of Christ and the end of days, Lord, that you have helped me to prepare this message, Father, in the way, Lord Jesus, in the way that you want it prepared. Come, Lord, and thunder your word through me today, Father. In Jesus' name. Father, Lord Jesus, I thank you that we're going to come away with, yes, this is sobering, but it's also exciting. So we're going to come away even more with a pep in our step to do the will of God, to do the will of him who sent us.
Amen.
Even
Amen.
As you did, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name.
What do you say, Hebrews 4:13 through what?
4:12 through 13.
4:12?
Yes, sir.
Through 13?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
Amen.
Luke 8, verse 17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be made that shall not be made known and come abroad. Now, in reading about the courts of heaven, something I found about that has been discovered is in Zechariah 3, you don't have to turn there, but in commenting about this passage, they talk about Joshua the high priest having filthy garments. And this is Dr. Francis Miles that wrote about this. And he says, this expression, filthy garments, is a direct reference to Joshua's spiritual state. Even though he was the presiding high priest, it was clear that there was sin in his life. When we live in sin, it's the equivalent of being clothed in filthy garments. Please remember, there is no such thing as secret sin in the spirit world. Every sin and transgression we hide in secrecy in the natural world is clearly visible before God and Satan in the spiritual realm.
Amen.
And Amen. So this is a time I feel led to share a little bit with you from the Lord concerning what the Lord has also been leading Prophet Jeremiah Johnson to mention, which is that there are, and just what we can see, there are leaders in the body of Christ. There are people in the body of Christ that are being exposed. So for many, in the courts of heaven, there are many, that this is a moment of mercy. This teaching that God is leading us to teach on, is this moment is a moment of mercy, because God does not want any to fall, nor to perish.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 11, verse 31 to 32.
1 Corinthians 11.
Yes, sir.
Verse what?
31 to 32. That's all right. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And now the purpose of tonight, one of the purposes is for us to come under the scalpel of the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, is there anything in me that needs to be dealt with now? So that I'm not condemned with the world, or so that my works are not burnt up in the fire. I'm going to get to that verse in a minute. 1 Peter 4, 17 to 18. I think these are the foundation verses. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end? What shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Powerful, isn't it?
That one saved, always saved, kind of goes out the door at that one, don't it?
The
righteous are scarcely saved.
Yeah. Second.
So smart.
Thank you, Lord. It's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5, verses 10 to 17. And I'm reading from the King James.
By what?
2 Corinthians 5, verses 10 to 17. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust all are made manifest also in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. And whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. And that he died for all, that then which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
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 And this scripture goes with Romans chapter 14.
Romans 14?
Yes, sir. Verses 10 to 13.
Romans what?
14. Verses 10 to 13. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Beloved, we are to love, even in 1 John chapter 4, and I would encourage you to write this down. It's like verses 10 to 17 or 18. It talks about, the whole chapter talks about love. And it says that in the love of Christ, this is the thing that's going to make us bold before the judgment day. When we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, we will be able to be bold in that day because we've loved one another and we've loved God. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 6, to 15.
1 Corinthians 3, what?
10 to 15. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For no other foundation can man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Before I discuss with you the final scripture, I want to take the time to discuss with you a little bit of what I've been studying on the judgment seat of Christ. I've been pondering, how am I going to put this message together? Because there's so much, if you study it. And I'm just listening to teaching, you know, like John Bevere, Driven by Eternity, and David Wilkerson, things like that. Listening to teaching of what other people have gleaned and have learned about the judgment seat of Christ. And one of the things to kind of shorten up what I've found, there are two main things. Talking about being the master builder, you're being judged on how did you build the kingdom of God, and how did you build your own life as well as the life of others through personal influence as well as influence in the calling that God has called you. And this calling is not just ministry.
Amen.
It's not just preaching the gospel. It could be cleaning toilets. It could be flipping burgers at McDonald's. It could be you owning your own business.
Mm-hmm.
And you're able selling, you know, cars at a car lot or whatever it may be, and you're able to minister. You know, there's one story, I think it was an accountant that John Bevere talks about. This really touched me. He said, you know, how many have you led to the Lord, or how many have you ministered the word to? And it was more, from what John Bevere said, I think it was like 90 a week or something, but it was more than even a pastor, from what John Bevere observed, had done in their ministry. And this guy is an accountant. Yes, yeah, in fact, I think it was John's accountant. And so, it's okay. And stay-at-home moms also. Through your kids, you can influence the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to encourage, you guys with this, and also judging the verse about Romans 14, we have to be careful our dispositions about other people. You know, even I was talking earlier about ministers being exposed. We can't go, you know, like, we can't have, hold a grudge or something in our hearts toward them and judge them, and well, they may still be in sin, or they may be this, or, because we don't know their hearts.
Amen.
Our final scripture is in Galatians chapter 5. Verses 19 to 23. Galatians 5, verses 19 to 23. And I'm going to read this in two different translations. First, we're going to read it in the King James. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to read this to you in, again in the Passion Translation. This says, the behavior of the self-life is obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, being envious of the blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom, quote-unquote, for these things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God? But the fruit produced by the Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Mm-hmm. In Revelation chapter 4, this is the, I won't read it, but I want to allude to it. The Lord reminded me on our way over here of a verse about the 24 elders. And I would encourage you to read this when you get home. Revelation 4, it's starting at verse 1, but it's about heaven. But in verse 10, he begins to talk about the elders laying their crowns down before our Lord Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I brought that up because in that verse where it talks about burning the wood, hay, and stubble, one commentary that I read when I was studying on the judgment seat of Christ, they said, the reason why God is giving you rewards is because you'll need that gold and that silver, and those precious stones to be able to make your crown so that you can rule and reign with Christ.
Praise the Lord.
But if you don't, but if all your works are burnt up in the fire, guess what?
Amen.
There's no crown.
Yeah. You'd be crownless.
So, I just wanted to, it's sobering a little bit, but yet exciting, because I want to take you through an exercise. I'm going to pray with you. This is something that I experimented with this week, but it works in the courts of heaven. And I want us to pray. How many of you want now, in the courts of heaven, how many of you want to go into the courts and ask God to burn up the works that are the wood, the hay, and the stubble?
Sure.
Amen.
So that God can begin to help you to redeem your time.
Right.
And your latter years will be greater than your former, and God can help you to make it so that that crown is built so you can rule and reign with Him.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Yeah, amen.
So, Father, we come before the courts of heaven now.
Jesus.
Lord Jesus, we come before your judgment seat. And, Father, we even ask you to help us to reveal into our hearts ways that we can cooperate with you, Lord.
Yes.
Father God, there are regrets that we have, that we may have in our hearts. Maybe we don't even, can't remember them, but maybe we have them. And if we were to be judged today, there are some even watching online that if they were to be judged today, their whole works would be burnt up. But Father, we ask now that you would burn those works up now.
Yes, God.
Father, that your judgments would be rendered against those works now, and that you would help us, Father, to redeem the time. You would help us to begin to get that gold, those precious stones, and the materials necessary to make that crown so that we can rule and reign with you, Lord.
Thank you.
We pray this in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Good preaching.
Hello, everyone. I want to thank you for listening to this edition of the Design for Victory podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast tonight or this video, Feel free to like, comment, share, subscribe, hit the notification bell. And rate the show if you're, you know, if you're listening on the podcast. And also, other ways you can contact us. You can go to www.stormministries.com, STORMMINISTRIES.com. That's Pastor Mickey's website. And there's a contact link there. Also, you can email kingdomadvancement252@gmail.com. KINGDOMADVANCEMENT252@gmail.com. Or you can write to Preach Unto Them Jesus or Put J, P.O. Box 7293, Edmond, Oklahoma 73013. Again, that's Put J, P.O. Box 7293, Edmond, Oklahoma 73013. Feel free to comment below any ways that God has blessed you, or just any ways that God has ministered to you through this. So thank you all very much. Pastor Mickey will be ministering Sunday, and so stay tuned for that. Thank you very much once again for listening, and God bless. In the previous the first segment that we saw as a sermon, I forgot to mention to you the book that Dr. Francis Miles wrote the statement about Zechariah 3 in, which was, "Following the footsteps of Rabbi Jesus into the courts of heaven," and that was on page 125 in iBooks, and that's where you can find that. So, I felt like, for copyright reasons and things, I wanted to come on here and let y'all know where I found that. Thank y'all very much once again. God bless.